Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We are all here reunited on terra firma, back in Blighty. Well, I've been back in Blighty the whole time, but these two dishevelled shells of men have been out on the pop for a few days. Sorry, promoting the great game of rugby union for a few days stateside.
Expanding the game.
Expanding our knowledge of the game too.
Yeah. And definitely.
It's currently like nearly half three in the afternoon, and JB's in some. Are they new pyjama bottoms? Those New York Jets PJ bottoms?
What, these old things? I just threw them on. Do I look like I've been somewhere?
It's got an NYPD t shirt on, New York Jets cap, and a New York Jets PJ. I'm a Jets fan. Could have got me some.
I could have. Well, if you return our Bayonne Bombers top and you lend the Japan top for the dungeon, I'll give you the trousers.
All right, you're on. We are on iTunes, on Acast, anywhere else you can find a podcast. Subscribe, leave your review on iTunes, find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, all the normal stuff. You know what's going on. So we've already done one podcast, or rather you two did, in a hotel lobby in New York before going to the airport to come home with David Flatman. If you haven't heard that yet, well worth listening. Really, really good to hear you guys. And I was quite impressed how kind of with it you sounded.
We can't really take much of the credit for that. That was all David. He turned up fresh. He didn't go out the night before because he's a professional. And he showed up in the Uber and did the podcast. So, I really have no credit to take for that whatsoever.
So this podcast, we're going to sort of catch up on a little bit of what happened at the weekend, albeit it's 3 days ago now, or two, three days ago now. And also, but more importantly, look ahead to the weekend that is coming up. So you probably didn't get the chance to see any rugby while you were out there, Phil.
Other than the live game, while we were out there, saw very, very little. We've now been back in the UK for about 3 hours, so I've managed to catch up on all the extended highlights, just about everything, but probably not as much as you, certainly. And when you watch everything that fast and that close together, it all just merges into one.
Just on the Philadelphia thing, because you guys, and listen to the podcast for a ringing endorsement of the city, of the spectacle, which is quite interesting, because I have not issues with the whole event, but I do have some kind of issues more with the execution than the idea.
Okay.
So I'm quite interested to sort of pick your brains on that. So the question I'm going to ask to get there is, what do you think the why was? Like, I've just set up a business in the last few months with a mate of mine, and one of the big things people keep saying is you've got to know what your why is, like why you're doing what you're doing. So why were they doing what they did? What was the why? Because I can't work it out.
I know what the right answer is. Okay, the right answer is they did it to promote the game in the United States.
Of rugby union broadly. Yeah.
I also think what they should make more of a... What they should make more of a deal of is you do it because... for the sake of it, to make a good event. And the problem with this whole thing, which we did yesterday... this weekend. Everyone, I'm not seeing the coverage over here, but I assume it's pretty negative.
There was a lot of kind of like, hey, Premiership on tour, we're in the States or whatever. But the sort of sizzle, the sausage didn't match the sizzle.
Yeah. So, the journalists over there were really negative. But I kind of think that they decided before they went that this wasn't going to work. I would say it's a roaring success as an event. And what I mean by that is I defy anyone who went there to say, I did not enjoy that.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, all right. Well, and again, I'm not trying to throw negativity onto it. In a way, it's trying to be constructive for next time, because I couldn't quite work out the why. Why do it? Because what you've just said is it's trying to grow the game more broadly in the US and try and get more people playing the game of rugby union in the US.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the why. And if that was the why, then what you do is the kind of things which they did through the week, you send, and you could send injured players, coaches over from all clubs all through the year to do these kind of coaching clinics, and then have one kind of spectacle event like a Premiership Barbarians team where you kind of get fringe players towards the end of the season, haven't played a lot of rugby, get them together, pay them a few quid, chuck them out on a plane and play the US Eagles.
Right.
That sort of thing might actually work better. What it actually is, I think this event, I think what the why probably is to promote the Aviva Premiership in America.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I would agree with that. That is the why.
That's why they were doing it, but I think it fell flat on that one as well.
Now, in terms of improvements, which I'm going to put on a small email and send over to Premiership Rugby, I'd have done the following, okay? So, there are a lot of clubs out there, and the people who attend these clubs are phenomenally passionate. Me and Phil were at Bayonne,
New Jersey.
Yep. And again, a massive thanks to Darren for being such a great host, who's doing really good work there at Bayonne as coach. And they were playing a team called Morris, who had most of their players come up through their own youth system.
Yeah, you mentioned this on the podcast. Yeah,
bloody, it's absolutely brilliant. So the people who are in these clubs are seriously passionate, and if they weren't passionate, they wouldn't be getting changed on sidelines and scraping together places to change and all that sort of stuff. So I would suggest two things to Premier Rugby. One, give these clubs a little bit of money or some tickets. And the reason you give them money or tickets is so they can move all of their games to a Friday night, to a stadium on Friday night, and then send people to watch their games, whether it be a couple of Saracens, travelling squad members, whether it be some low-level podcasters like ourselves. Something to say, hey, it's not just about you coming to watch us, we're going to come watch you.
Or what about what Saracens do every single, well, not every single, but a lot of their home games. I've been to Saracens before, several hours before kickoff, and there's kids playing a little tournament on it.
Yep.
Do that, do it, or do a little sevens tournament. Invite, like, get an artificial pitch.
Yeah.
Invite a load of other clubs to come along, take part in some sort of competition that you run. And then 5 p.m. kickoff, they're already in the ground. It feels like a great event. You've got the main event. So my point being, like, constructive, it feels like there wasn't a great deal of joined up thinking and acumen going on.
And I'll give you the last one. And in terms of giving them tickets, instead of giving them cash, give them tickets so that they can sell to their club members. Win-win, right? So here's the real brainchild. I think next year Premiership Rugby should set up some sort of like podcast village, so you can have your bloggers and micro influencers there doing their shows or doing their reporting in a fan village before getting on coaches to go to the stadium. Because I think that'd be really cool for us.
It would be very cool for us, 100%.
We attracted 100 people to Romania, and we could have done a lot more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, I think that would do a little bit. I think the bigger one to get people to that event is the first one you mentioned. It's with the fans, with the clubs. Allowing the clubs to come to it, giving them free
and
tickets,
also because
and engage with them.
Because all of the Premiership Rugby is played earlier on in the day, right? They could be televising the late game in the fan village, getting everyone excited for the game before they get on their coaches and go, or some sort of tailgate type stuff. Something like
Which is what they did at Newcastle Falcons' home ground, Kingston Park. They did that, and loads of fans turned up, and the injured players and players that were in the periphery were there as well. So there's lots that can be done. My problem is not with the idea, it's with the execution, and I think it left a lot to be desired.
Well,
and as a result, it's invited a load of negativity.
Yeah, well, I would say just two last things. One, the promotion was rubbish. Just because you've heard negative events, negativity about it this time, don't let that put you off going when it comes around next time, because it truly is a great event to go and attend.
Yeah, and everyone will learn from that.
Yeah.
As in, Premier Rugby and the clubs will learn from that, and things will be done differently next time. which I certainly hope there is a next time.
I like the idea of like a Premiership All-Stars dream, because America understand like the concept of a dream team, if you like. Send them over to play the US Eagles, the Aviva Premiership Barbarians or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I still prefer the idea of sending them over during the Six Nations, because it doesn't matter if Maro Itoje isn't really playing. No one really knows. Like, if the New England Patriots landed here, someone who's never watched American football before doesn't really need to go and see Tom Brady. They just need to see the spectacle of all the guys in their kits.
Totally.
So that way it doesn't impact the home fans as much and all the rest of it.
You can't do it during the Six Nations, though, can you?
You can.
Well, USA, you're playing in their equivalent.
We will solve this another day. Other things over the weekend. Let's go from what some wrote as a negative. Let's go from what some wrote as a negative, and clearly there's shades of grey everywhere, I think we'll all be agreed, a resounding positive, the little niggle between Marla and Haskell.
Bravo. Bravo.
It was entertaining, wasn't it?
It really was.
One of my favourite things happened on a rugby pitch for about 5 years.
I also really liked it, and I would have liked to have seen the referee take the two of them together. We talked about this before. Take the two of them together, say, right, enough of that, shake hands and go back.
So they've really made a rod for their own backs here. Okay. Everyone has. So as I mentioned on the previous podcast with Flats, everyone's going to be squirting Haskell with water now. Apparently Danny Kerr squirted him with water. Next time I see him, I'm going to squirt him with water, albeit from a safe distance.
Don't get it in his coffee.
Do not, yeah. If... I just feel that the Premiership should have done nothing about this. Not giving Marla a retrospective yellow card, which is apparently what has happened.
They have done that. Three yellow cards results in a ban, and they've retrospectively, citing commission, have decided that Joe Marler's actions, squirting him with water and grabbing his scrum cap after he'd been judo thrown to the floor or before or after, whatever, warranted a yellow card.
Nonsense.
It should have been yellow carded. Yeah. So retrospectively has been done. So doesn't it feel like it's just we need to make it. Well, we need to keep the game. What's the word?
Not stupid.
Palatable for kids.
No. Yes.
When the game grows, it's like, oh, well, now they're role models, and we need to.
I just think,
but they're whacking lumps out of each other for 80 minutes, and they showed restraint, because Haskell looked like he was 10 years ago. He would have lamped him.
Yeah,
he would have done a two-a-langy on Ashton.
So I'm actually with you there. I think he should have been, the two of them should have been commended for showing the restraint that they did.
Yeah,
as in Haskell. So I think Marla was just trying to wind him up.
Yeah,
Haskell was right on the edge of exploding, and a few years ago he would have punched him, would have hit him. But they both showed restraint, and it was good fun, and it was a bit of harmless fun.
Yeah. Now that they've decided to stick their big noses in, it feels to me that any kind of altercation needs to be looked back by a citing commission, when really the answer to this is Haskell's yellow card is fine-ish. But by giving Marla a yellow card, what are we going to do now? Just look back at all the... You know, look back at all the incidents.
I think it's the other way around. I think Marla's been given a yellow card because Haskell was given a yellow card. I think had Haskell not, if the ref had treated it in that way of going, guys, come on, you're England internationals, shake hands, sort yourselves out, get back and focus on the game. If the ref had done that, I don't think Premiership Rugby or whoever the citing commission or whoever it is would have said two yellow cards, one for Haskell, one for Marla. They were just evening it up because
there's also an element of pro wrestling in this too, because.
Good judo technique.
Bloody brilliant. Really slick. I can't believe you got away with that. It's like Vince McMahon chose these two guys. It was just because they're the two biggest characters probably in the English game.
Yeah.
But right, let's go.
If you were going to pick WWE superstars out of the Avicii Premiership, it would be those two,
It probably would be, yeah.
Yeah, it would be. So, I'm trying to think of someone else who I'd pick instead.
I know Corbs loves his WWE.
Who else?
There's loads of them.
What other Avicii Premiership star would you have?
Genge.
Crisis?
Genge would
Genge. Be. Yes. Genge has got heel written all over him.
And also Genge can just come out as Genge. When that's like, Genge. Jamal Ford Robinson is an actual wrestler.
Oh, yeah, he is an actual wrestler.
He seems too nice to be, as in...
You get beaten up every week then.
You need the... Yeah, maybe.
Sam Underhill had the look of a man who could be pretty handy in the WWE with his defensive work on Friday night.
I didn't... I saw bits of it. It was on TV at a bar when we finished our game for the Bay Bombers. I've seen bits of it.
Just a hard... He just... 23 tackles in 68 minutes?
Tackling machine.
And he went off and he wasn't done. He had more in the tank. A machine. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks, though, because he was... that's one interesting thing that it threw up over the weekend. So, Northampton, brilliant win, once again. One little subtlety in the law was exposed, though, because Sam Underhill was hit and he was out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had someone said, we just want to check him for an HIA, they would have been able to have brought a back row on. Because he was out, cold...
Yeah,
and the doctor said, you know what, he was out, so we're pulling him from the game.
He's
immediately taken off, and they'd used up their replacements. They weren't allowed to replace him.
Oh
wow,
that's no good.
Probably, which will get looked at and changed because
because if it was a head injury assessment, you just get a direct replacement.
And then at the end of the 15 minutes,
yeah,
which is the time of the HIA, Bath would have had to have decided: are you bringing Sam Underhill back on or withdrawing his replacement from the field?
Isn't this just common sense by the people that run the game?
Yeah.
I mean, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a little flaw that will need tweaking.
It'll get tweaking. Both sets of coaches were like, yeah, actually, this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. Yeah. Let's sort this out. But yeah, Sam Underhill looked a tough lad. So, instantly, people are starting to talk about Eddie Jones's England squad. I think he just needs to have a good hard year in the Premiership.
Who is the more likely guy to get into the England squad of the young flunkers, one of the Currys or Underhill?
Well, Curry's already there, so I think him.
You reckon the Currys?
Seems to be the way Eddie Jones goes, doesn't it? He's not going to pick Sam Underhill on the basis of one match.
But Underhill also played in the first test in Argentina, didn't he?
True. Actually, that's very true. Good point.
I think he'll go back to his kind of tried and tested of Haskell and Robshaw, subject to him wanting to play potentially a lock at six. So we've seen Marrow, we've seen Laws both do a handy job.
Now, why would anyone pick a lock at six, Tim?
Well, you just mentioned Robshaw, Haskell, and then mentioned Courtney Laws, who was, again, magnificent in that Northampton performance, captaining inside and is playing the rugby of his life.
And was packing down at six as well.
And was packing down at six. And Ben Kay wrote a really, really interesting piece in the Times where he said that the scrum has been depowered slightly with the new law variations, which means there's a greater emphasis been put on the line out, which means suddenly we talked for ages about six and a halves in relation to Robshaw, Haskell. But now five and a halves may well be the future because they give an extra line out option and Courtney Laws five and a half.
So there's one half of that I really like, which is the line out option. Having someone who's 6 foot, 5, 6, 7, Courtney Laws might be, is brilliant. But if you're depowering the scrum, then you can also have lighter props, which means that you need more athletic players on the pitch. So perhaps having someone who's athletic but can also do the line-out work, as in someone like perhaps a Warburton type who does a huge amount of work but can still be very good in the line-out.
Yeah.
Now, Courtney Laws is athletic, so he's... Yep. He's probably a good example of someone who could do a little bit of both, perhaps.
Yeah, and what you're saying, Tim, about...
Or what Ben Kay was saying, anyway.
Yeah, but just think of yourself. what Ben Kay was saying might also be rubbing off because you do see a lot more emphasis on other things than scrums. So restarts are big on coaches' agendas, practising them, getting them right. Because it's just another area where you actually have some contest for the ball.
That's on everyone's agenda because it got on the All Blacks' agenda and they got so damn good at it that they were just scoring and then immediately getting the ball back 30 yards from the opposition's try line.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Which, if you can do it well, it's a phenomenal advantage.
Did anyone watch the All Blacks game?
Yeah. I didn't watch it live because I was travelling to a game, but I did watch it. And they are just playing, once again, well, they were with South Africa anyway, just playing a different game.
Yeah. So I looked at my phone on Saturday morning and I honestly thought South Africa had won. Because all the tweets like, how do you like that? South Africa rugby revival? ? Lots of things like that. Bloody hell, this is going to be a huge result. And it was, just not in the way that I saw it panning out.
It certainly was a huge result. It took a look. So I've watched the extended highlights now. Mm-hmm. It took a little bit to for New Zealand to break them down, but when the floodgates opened late on in that first half and then in the second half, it was just men against boys.
Yeah.
I've seen quite a few things. So I've seen a few tweets from Brendan Venter.
Yeah, he really got into it with fans.
Yeah.
In a contrite way.
I've seen the stuff that's kind of very critical of his team, but also articulating that, look, no one is hurting more than them. They want to get better. They will get better, and they're determined to do that.
I really thought they were turning the corner. I mean, maybe they did turn the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
No, sorry. Has anyone got change
for time? Oh, look, we're getting interrupted by my wife and a small person. No, I've not got change for 20.
Sorry.
Okay, then. There we go. Should we keep that in or do we cut it out?
No, keep it in. Carry on.
Keep it in.
Fine. That's a problem with podcasting on a weekday.
No, it's
let the girls pay.
Exactly. Well, it's a problem with not locking your door before you start broadcasting.
Yeah. So that was one thing. The Brendan Venter side was interesting. It'll be fascinating to see how they do react, because they've got to have a big reaction. Otherwise, there's going to be some personnel changes, both playing side and coaching side.
Well, I guess the overall trend for the Springboks has been really positive. Yeah. Since that Italy game and the Tonga game, in fact, since last year's tour, they seem to have improved.
They do.
And this just must be a body blow.
A massive step back. And the other thing, when you kind of dig into some of the stats, their scrum and their line out, so their forward play, their basics are what they really pride themselves on.
Mm.
Scrum, 50% success. Line out, 60% success.
What?
Tackles as well, 70% success.
Tell you what.
Just those basics, just simply not good enough.
Anyone got a sneaky suspicion you're going to see a massive reaction when they go back to...
I thought you were going to say, anyone got a sneaky suspicion that there's a Hansi Cronier incident has gone on?
Did he fly into the side of a mountain?
Hansi Cronier?
I don't know.
Hansi Cronier was...
He's the match-fixing cricket captain. Yeah.
I'm sure he flew into a mountain.
You're getting confused with the film Alive. the true story of the Uruguayan rugby team.
Okay, you guys crack on.
You might be right. I don't know.
I will come back to you with some aviation mountain-based facts.
Okay.
How do you spell Hansi Cronier?
HANSECRONJE.
Yeah. All right, go on.
There's been a lot of reaction to this, and a lot of people...
Yeah, died in a plane crash, 2002.
Oh, my God.
Flew into the side of a mountain.
Wow. Okay. Mm. Well, is that a metaphor for South African rugby?
Yes.
So no, sorry, Hansi. R.I.P.
To answer your question, do I think South Africa flew into the side of a mountain? No, I don't. Do I think there's illegal betting activity? I've got an open mind.
it has reignited lots of discussion about the structure of domestic South African rugby and what's happening with Super Rugby and players and losing players to Europe and competing and all the rest of it. And Southern Kings had a game at the weekend against Leinster, big stadium. Yeah. What city is it in again?
Port Elizabeth.
The stadium in Port Elizabeth, the one where international matches happen.
Yeah.
Huge. 500 people.
That is not good. Not good.
Leinster take it. Like former European champions, Leinster, 500 people.
Well, yeah. I just don't think people will correct me, and people have corrected me already, saying Port Elizabeth and that area does produce a lot of rugby players. But the Kings have never been loved. No one's ever really been interested in them. I think their first ever game was... One of the first ever games was against the Lions last time they went to South Africa. And it's just purely a team based out of politics and nothing really more. So it doesn't surprise me that there are no crowds. And I don't know what will... I mean, if Leinster doesn't excite you, maybe you just don't like rugby.
Maybe, yeah. There's a load of Irish internationals there.
John Schmidt, who's high up in the South African Rugby Union now...
Yeah.
He said that what he wants to do is in a couple of years change the sides in Pro 14 from Southern Kings and Lions?
Kings and Cheetahs.
Kings and Cheetahs to a couple of the others. He wants to change it up, which I just...
Like on a rotation, like a rotation. So,
like a rotating
so the
them in.
Storms and Sharks do 2 years in the yeah. in the Pro 14.
What is the guy on about? If that is a serious suggestion, then the problems are even worse than first feared. Because the one thing that these tournaments have, like at the weekend, I was working at the Leicester-Gloucester match. Yep. That's the City of Leicester against the City of Gloucester.
Yeah, and there's a lot of tradition.
A lot of tradition. And
top flight rugby between them.
And that's two. What the... that's. A lot of people have taken the mickey out of us going, Aviva Premiership, greatest domestic tournament in the world or stuff. But that's what, regardless, if you take away quality of rugby, that's what the Aviva Premiership
Isn't
has.
Isn't this what I've been saying for years?
Huh?
You have been saying this about the rivalries.
Yeah.
No, so I'm saying, John, and we've all been, a lot of people are saying, oh, actually, the South African in this Pro 14 is bringing in TV money and all the rest of it. The only thing it will have going for it is if it brings in the TV money and you start generating those kind of relationships and rivalries between clubs.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I hope that the Cheetahs get a bigger crowd. I mean, it can't be hard to get a bigger crowd than 500 for Leinster. I think Cheetahs are the greater hope of the two South African teams for one of them that can do something. Mm. Southern Kings, it's just rubbish, isn't it? It's just depressingly rubbish. And it's so sad because I give the Pro 12 so much stick because the bottom half of it is so, so awful. I mean, and people will be, you know, tweeting and saying, oh, well, do you think that Newcastle would beat or end up in the top six or so on and so forth? No, I don't think that. I just think Newcastle or Sale, all in the Irish, would be six times better than... They'd be better than if you got a combined team of Kings, Dragons, Cheetahs, Zebre, Treviso and Edinburgh. Any one of those teams would be better than a combination team of all those six teams.
Worcester, maybe not so. They're looking like they've got big problems.
Yeah.
Mm. Big problems.
Worrying for Worcester, actually. So they're 0-3.
Yeah. Interesting fact. I mentioned it in the little intro I did on the podcast you did. This is the first season in the Premiership where every side has lost one game at least in the first three rounds.
Oh.
That's never happened before. There's always been teams that are 3-0, but there is one team that's 0-3.
Yes. Well, that the first half of that shows how competitive the league is. The second half of that is worrying for Worcester.
Yes, it is worrying for Worcester,
albeit they had one. First fixture, they travelled up to Newcastle, which is not an easy fixture, but...
Got pumped.
It's the kind of thing you want to be competitive in, getting points out of it. They then have had two tough fixtures against last year's top two, Wasps and Exeter.
Yeah, so they were away at Exeter, yeah? So I would just be a little cautious about judging them just yet.
No, they were at home to Exeter.
Oh, no.
Home to Exeter and Wasps.
Yeah, well, the Wasps game, there's a lot to hang your hat on there.
Yeah, there were some green shoots.
Yeah, that's not good.
But just again, no 10 or no Premiership high quality 10. No 10 that would get into any other team.
Yes, I'm over. Who?
Yeah.
Tom Heathcote.
Yeah, I guess they're going to be rotating between those two and maybe Ryan Mills when he returns. Mm.
They've got a pretty phenomenal back line, but just, yeah. They've got big problems and off the field as well with it, the club being up for sale and. You know, that's going to unsettle people. Apparently, the Wi-Fi in the Academy House relaxation rooms is still super fast.
Thank God. See, I think Worcester's actually a very attractive proposition to buy because it's got all the infrastructure. They've got a good squad. Mm-hmm. You know, if they were clever, they would sell it to a world-class 10. Because he's probably got the money and he could play.
Well, let's talk about future world-class 10s, just jumping around the stories. Marcus Smith, man of the match performance. Although, personally, I thought Marlon Yard was just exceptional as well. I think he possibly deserved it. But 18 years of age, and in that pressure cooker, with Wasps coming back at you, that last 20 minutes, he just controlled territory.
Slotted the penalty.
Slotted the pens when it was, which Danny Cipriani didn't.
Yep. So I've not seen this kid fully. So... this is a very preliminary judgment. I need to watch a full game. I still think he struggles in open play. He isn't particularly polished, but he's 18.
He's 18.
So you've got to take it in context of like that's pretty good. I mean, it's pretty good. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, it is phenomenal. Really remarkable.
You can have that Times, Telegraph, Sunday Rags. You can have that.
Yep.
Marcus Smith. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
He's 18. Use that quote.
It does tell me something. So it does tell me something more important, okay, which is maybe, and Worcester could learn this, maybe the answer to a positional problem when it arises is not to go and look and buy a 10. Because Harlequins have tried to do that. Unfortunately, he's injured with a fractured throat, I might add.
Yeah.
But then they give the kid a go and they beat Wasps at home. So there is something there which is, you know, maybe trust your academies a little bit more. If there's a chance to play a kid, play him.
And Quins have taken a lot of stick about their away form and how erratic they are, not backing up performances, winning one week and then being poor the next.
Well, perfect.
Amazing. A match for anyone at home and then a bit feeble away. But that showed that, all right, maybe there is some. The opening day was a poor day for them, but
yeah,
decent win at home against Gloucester and then on the road at Wasps.
Yeah, so
fair play. And they were hard in that game. They were tough.
Yeah, so Quins have been very Quins-like. This is analogous to their win against Saracens away last year. They managed to beat the eventual relegation team on the first game of the season. So, if anything, they've still gone back. So they beat a major team away, but they also lost against the relegation hopefuls in the first game of the season. So, actually, compared to the last season, not doing as well.
Yeah, big game for them this weekend. They've got Leicester at home. That'll be a good acid test. And Leicester needs something as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Richard Blaise has gone, is that correct?
He's resigned. The Leicester forwards coach, Brett Deacon, has stood in on a temporary basis to facilitate with the line-outs.
So Brett Deacon is getting promoted every week, from what I can tell.
So, yeah, things aren't all amazing at Leicester, not all amazing at Gloucester yet. The two teams that stand out above everyone else are the one that you watched in Philadelphia, Saracens. And Exeter, who, again, had a wobbly start with their first game, but have looked pretty special. So a lot of people are revising their thoughts, me included, that maybe, instead of we thought it might be this year the top three or four breaking away from the rest and the rest in a big blob, actually I think it might be the top two and then a massive scrum for third and fourth.
That's kind of how I felt about it, because Exeter, maybe top three. I think top three will soon shape up, and it will be Wasps, Saracens, Exeter. Everyone else. I mean, how good or how terrible on Northampton? I don't know.
They looked terrible in the first game. They've then looked outstanding.
Yeah.
And they looked outstanding against Leicester, and Leicester have looked terrible.
But they looked
outstanding against Bath. They shut down that Bath team who were so dominant in the previous two games.
Right, so hang on, how does this work? So Northampton better than Saracens now, because Northampton lost to Saracens. Bath then beat Saracens, they beat Bath.
Yeah.
Yeah, that means Northampton weren't as good as Saracens, but now they are better than them.
Yeah,
they're now
correct.
Better, so they're now also reigning two times European Champions Cup.
Correct.
Yes, correct.
Title holders.
And Jim Mallinder was getting stick.
Yeah.
It was so bad. That first match was so bad, I thought it was actually career-threatening for Mallinder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really did. Then he goes and wins two. Who have they got next week?
That's a good question. Shall we get into it?
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Just one more brief little story which I just want to mention. Billy Vunipola has come out and been very vocal and, you know, a big guy in stature but also in profile. And he's come out and is a voice at the moment saying that there could be a potential strike like happened in the NFL when there was a... What do they call it? A walkout? No, what was it called?
Holdout, player holdout.
A freeze or player freeze, whatever. Because of the demands that are being put on the players in the new global calendar that's been suggested.
Yeah, so...
Interesting.
Yeah,
I think it's something to do with the global calendar. But anyway, just the lockout, that was it.
So the lockout is slightly different because that's the facility is not allowing the players to come back in.
So not that one then.
Well, he's talking about the players all getting together like a kind of union and going, we're having a...
So, generally speaking, my thoughts on unions are pretty dim.
But your
thoughts on the sport of rugby, rugby union, outstanding.
Rugby union is positive, and the RPA, which is the players' union.
I've got to say, trying to expand the season is absolute nonsense. If anything, they need to shorten it. They need less games of more high intensity and more quality.
Well, Billy Vunipola would be agreeing with you right now.
But, I mean, look, if you really want more rugby, right? If you really want a lot more rugby. Go to the A-League games. I mean, that's what I do. But no one does, because they're happy with the amount of rugby that they've got. We've seen this weekend, Leinster versus Kings. No one showed up because they don't want shit matches. Sorry, bad matches. So why do it? I don't see why you need to see England any... I mean, watching your national team play should be the pinnacle of the season. So I don't think England should be playing three times on tour, three times at home, plus another few times in the Six Nations. Limit the whole lot.
So interesting. There is a really good article on it from a different perspective. But so Christian Day, obviously heavily involved in the Rugby Players Association, wrote a really interesting article on talking rugby union, making the point. So not about limiting the game for the fans or increasing the spectacle, which is the point that you're making. Mm-hmm. Purely talking about it from a player welfare perspective, and the English Rugby Union and Pro 14 is already the longest season of any contact sport outside of the top 14. So French is the longest of any contact sport in the world.
Not because when we do not class football as a contact sport.
No.
Is it a contact sport?
Probably technically, but not
maybe
anymore.
Technically, so not, contact is not illegal. I think, as in you can have shoulder.
But the second that you brush shoulders, someone falls over.
Yeah,
so,
I think.
So no.
Basketball is a contact sport.
Basketball
is non-contact. Non-contact. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't care.
Anyway, it's shorter season than rugby
boxing?
Union.
Boxing. What was that?
But the thing I think, and possibly, I wonder what Christian Day would think about this. Guys like Billy Vunipola, massive man, goes. You know what his body goes through. We can't imagine.
Yeah.
And what he does to other people, definitely never want to experience. Yeah. But I actually think guys like him at the very top are the ones that are going to be okay. I think it's the guys who are your average Premiership squad player, never an international. They're the ones that are not going to earn huge money and get big endorsements and get the big insurance payout if their injury is cut short or whatever. They're not going to get all that. They're going to be put through the mill, play constantly. Their international union is not going to look after them or give them, like Dan Carter did, a sabbatical or whatever. They're the ones that are going to know you play every week, take that injection, take that pill, get back on the field, and then they'll be bodies completely broken and not have anywhere near enough money to do anything with when
actually,
they finish.
The non-internationals, you make a good point, because they do play a lot more club games. But I actually think it's the physicality and the toll. So it's not so much how many games they play per se, but maybe the intensity of the games, but also how long these games are spread out for. So they literally have only five weeks off, and they're playing sort of semi-constantly all the way through. The workload is too high, but I'd rather them have more workload in a shorter period, so they have more recovery time off afterwards. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And also, I think the international game, because of just the sheer ferocity of it, probably adds so much more work to those lads. But there again, they are paid handsomely to do it. The point is, player welfare and rugby as a spectacle are inextricably linked in so many ways.
Yeah.
For instance, no one's going to watch a team short of internationals because they're all injured. And equally, we don't want to be making them play so much that they get career-threatening injuries, and we don't see them anyway. So there is far too much rugby, and they're doing all these things the wrong way. They need to get rid of games, not increase them.
Unfortunately, that is what all the players are saying, and that is what the RPA are saying. Yeah. So Premier Rugby are trying to increase this. It's been muted that one of the possible solutions to the calendar problem could be to increase the Premiership season by an extra month. So start September, finish June.
How about decreasing it by a month? How do they feel about that?
Well, the problem then is the global calendar, as in getting the games into the period of time.
And you don't want to ruin the integrity of the club competition by having internationals not there most of the time.
Yeah, and people. So no one wants to get rid of the European Champions Cup. No one wants to get rid of this.
That's all the Irish provinces care about.
No one wants
they
to
don't really
this.
Care about the Pro 14.
The Six Nations. And then you've got the Summer Tours and the Autumn Internationals.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, something has to give. The TV money and the sponsorships are such that no one is willing to give an inch. So yeah,
and let me just make a quick argument for the clubs, because it is easy, and I think you're in danger of going down this road of saying, oh, the clubs only want money, or, you know, it's the clubs that are pushing for this. Without the clubs, none of this is possible, because the clubs own the players, they pay the players, they develop them, they train them, they do the majority.
Yeah.
Only once a club has done all the things necessary to produce a world-class player do England then get involved. It's all right for England to say, oh yeah, we pay them and we look after them and they're on our, you know. England do not own these players. It's like borrowing machinery from someone else's factory and destroying it and then sending them back.
Well, the RFU do fund the academies as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, the clubs
are... So there is a bit more of a partnership.
Yeah,
in that sense.
Absolutely. But the clubs aren't purely the bad guys here saying, you know, more, and also they've got wage bills.
Mm. So. No. I don't think anyone's saying that about. I don't think anyone's pointing the finger at the club and saying.
I think it's just as you say, if you owned the TV rights for a domestic rugby league, you want the big stars involved.
Yeah,
yeah.
And if suddenly there was a law brought in that they'll only play 10 league games a season, well, you want to sit down and go, well, we need to talk about that. That TV right money then, because. I'm not getting the product I bought.
Yeah. So this is the difficulty is every time. So if a Premiership match makes you £100 and you've got 20 of them, if you went to, I don't know, 25, you then get maybe £90 a match and so on and so forth. So these guys, you're asking them to work harder for less return. It is the law of diminishing returns here. It's just not a good idea.
Hmm. Well, that one will rumble and rumble, but it's an interesting thing that is brewing. I'm trying to think any other business. I can't think of anything. So let's look ahead.
Next week, yeah, that's the important stuff. So we'll just do, because we've already been probably quite a lot longer than we originally expected. So
yeah, well, I think we've got time just to mention, by the way, gentlemen. It was quite an interesting thing for you to arrive back in the UK to the news that. This show, our humble little show we're doing, the Rugby Dungeon, with just the three of us doing everything,
mm-hmm.
And which we did for many years, as growing it from ground zero with no professional broadcasting arm or marketing department promoting it. And we have been nominated alongside some of the biggest brands and names in all of radio and podcasting, one of the UK Radio Academy Awards.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
For Best Sports Show, yeah. So just some names
best
that have...
Sports Show, that's why.
just some names of people that have also got nominations in various other categories. Jeremy Vine,
mm-hmm.
Five Live Sport. Oh, General Five Live Sport is in a category alongside us. So the whole Five Live Sport department, as an entirety, is up against the three of us.
Well, the whole
in our
Egg Chasers
category.
Rugby podcast in its entirety.
Yeah, the whole of Egg Chasers podcast against the entire... Well, technically, we are paying for our competition. We fund.
Don't.
I'm going to throw my TV in the bin. I'm going to rip up my TV license.
All I can say is having dealings with people in Five... not Five Live, Scrum Five. I really hope that they don't win. I really hope so.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show is in an award. Nick Grimshaw's going to be there on the night.
Are these people going to show up to the
awards?
Yeah,
they'll be there. They'll be there.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, little old us, we're there. So good work.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting us to actually walk away with the gong, but
are you not?
Well, no, it would be kind of poetic because I've been personally on the XFM show and stuff I did. I got 11 different award nominations. Never won, always nominated. So it'll be sod's law that I'll
always the bridesmaid.
First one, I'll nail it on this. But anyway,
and then it'll be 100% from JB as well.
100% from JB, yeah. It'll be one from one.
Yeah,
I can't imagine it going to anyone else but us personally. But
whereas I'll have like, he's a really bad kicker. He's a really, really terrible kicker.
Danny Cipriani, Bowden Barrett.
I'll be the Bowden Barrett in terms of hit rate. One from 11, but when I get it right, it's incredible.
They say you miss 100% of the kicks you don't take.
Correct, mate.
Yeah.
Gordon Barrett sometimes misses 100% of the kicks he does take.
Right, games then.
Okay, fixtures. So, Pro 14 fixtures. We'll quickly go through these. Leinster carrying on their troublesome tour of South Africa. They travelled to Bloemfontein to play the Cheetahs. Have you seen the other couple of misdemeanours on their tour? So, obviously, the attendance.
Yep.
Then you had Nasewa and Gibson Park. being denied access to the country.
Yeah, apparently they've got to go directly to the South African consulate to pick up a form or something.
I think it's the South African consulate in New Zealand, though.
Yeah, I think that you might be right.
So, anyway, they landed in the country, had a few hours of trying to sort visas out, couldn't do it, and had to go back to Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we all saying Leinster win?
Yes.
Yes.
Comfortable Leinster win.
Oh, yeah, there was also the incident with
Keane Healy.
Keane Healy, but... I'm hoping some more information comes out about that.
He was just watching something on his laptop and there's an electronics ban.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they turn around a plane back to the terminal.
Don't know, you could have a right job's worth on there.
Turn your laptop off, sir. Okay, yes, no problem.
What if, I mean, it's very unlikely, but what if, A, he's a job's worth, or she's a job's worth, and he or she is a massive Cheetahs fan? You thought of that?
Well, they were only travelling to Cape Town for some training, not to Bloemfontein. So if you think you can stop that more than a week before the game...
Every little helps.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's just been described as a laptop issue.
Yeah. There's definitely more to this.
What was he watching on that laptop?
Reviewing footage from the game, apparently.
Reviewing? Interesting.
But yeah.
What game?
Yeah, what game?
Okay, next one. Treviso host Ospreys. Ospreys.
Well, Treviso did get a win. Again, I do expect Ospreys to win, but Treviso got a win against Edinburgh away.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Comeback 13-0 at half time.
Yep.
And Edinburgh screwed it.
Yeah.
I would truly love it if one of the Italian teams went on a little run and they played some good rugby. But we've been waiting for like 10 years for it. So this will just be a standard Italian loss now.
I think this says more about Edinburgh, unfortunately, because we've been kind of bigging them up a little bit.
Well, I've been kind of cautious because they go, oh, look, we won against two. Dragons.
Yeah.
And then they played...
Hey, Dragons won as well this weekend.
Did they?
Yeah.
They beat Connacht at home.
Yeah. Good win.
That is a good win.
Yeah. So, Ospreys to beat Treviso. Then... what will be a very interesting game. Glasgow host Munster.
Awesome.
What
day is that on?
That is Friday night, 7:35.
I'll be watching that. Oh,
they're the two unbeaten teams, 3-3 in Conference A.
Good. Oh, we actually did watch some rugby, Tim.
Oh, yeah?
We watched Ulster versus Scarlets.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, it was a cracking game.
Yeah.
With Cam.
Good win for Ulster. Late try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
It was a great win for Ulster.
It was one of the best low scoring games by half time that I've seen. I think it's 3-3 by half time.
Yeah. But both teams trying to play rugby.
Mm. Well, you can actually win the Pro 12 by playing rugby, which is very sad. But you look at the teams that have won it recently. Scarlets. Well, you'd never accuse them of not playing rugby.
No, definitely
Glasgow,
not.
Connacht?
Yeah.
You know, are those last three winners, or have Leinster bagged one? Something
I think Leinster might have been previous to that.
But all teams that play good rugby.
Yeah.
Let the boys play. I think there's a message there.
So, Glasgow-Munster.
Munster.
I'm going to go for a home win. Glasgow
going to hammer them.
Glasgow win. Then Ulster host Dragons. It'd be very Ulster to beat the champion Scarlets and then lose to Dragons.
Or Ulster, the Harlequins of the Pro 12. 14.
I think there is something to be made of that. They've got a lot of talent, doesn't always play in the right way. I'll tell you who did have a good game, actually. Christian Leofano.
Yes. 10.
Some of his kicking was so good. And don't forget, he's kicking against Lee Halfpenny, one of the best position fullbacks in the world.
Always found space.
And he was finding space, yeah.
I'll go for Ulster. Pride night in Belfast.
Yeah, Ulster at home. Then Connacht host Cardiff. Cardiff, who are 0-3, not having a good time of it.
Dear me. And with Sam Warburton
out until
the Six Nations. So we were talking about this last weekend's podcast about, and I said, oh, I think Sam Warburton, unlike Tua Lange, Sam Warburton appears to have put his injury problems behind him.
2 days later. neck problem that requires surgery and 4 months out of the game.
However, JB called him Wales is Tom Croft, Warburton always gets ready for the Lions tour, and he's back for the Six Nations.
He will be back for the Six Nations, yeah.
It's all that pesky domestic rugby.
So, yeah, Connacht to win at home. Then Southern Kings host Zebre. This will be a good leveller.
Yeah.
Zebre. Apparently we're saying it wrong. It's Zebre.
Zebre. Southern Kings host Zebre.
Which means Zebre will then go and play Chiefs after that. Is that how they do it?
Like, yeah, they tend to try and do like a little tour.
So they'll do 4 weeks at home and then they'll all travel for 2 weeks up here, then 4 weeks at home and 2 weeks up. Okay.
Well, actually, so Zebre did play Cheetahs last week. This weekend just gone. 54-39 it was.
To whom?
To the Cheetahs.
Read that score again.
54-39.
Bloody hell. It's one for the neutral.
Yeah.
Super rugby down there. Guess it's all the...
It's defence optional.
Cheetahs, who are all South Africans, and Zebre, who are all South Africans.
Yeah, that's literally Super Rugby at its worst. Congratulations, boys.
And then the final game, Scarlets, who will be hurting from that loss to Ulster, host Edinburgh.
And will bounce back.
And will definitely bounce back. That could be a big score, actually. Then, Premiership.
The Avicii.
Oh, can I just tell you something about a travelling team?
Go on.
So, I was talking to one of the Saracens media guys, and he was trying to impress on me exactly how hard it is to move your sports club over to America for a week. And, you know, a point that I completely sympathise with. It is a massive, massive mission to get it all done. I then heard, quite separately from someone else, Saracens, since they've been in America, have managed to spend £82,000 on food.
That is incredible.
So they're there for a week.
Yep.
Yeah.
So 7 days. So divide 80 to come on, Phil. Numbers, man. 82,000 divided by seven.
11.5 grand.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible, Phil.
Well, no. That's just approximate.
Okay.
11.5 grand a day divided by...
11.5 divided by how many people in that squad? 30 guys and, let's say, 20 staff. So 50 people. 11.5 grand divided by 50...
Yeah, so
12 grand divided by 50 would be 600.
So it's
60.
11 grand divided by 50, 2 grand, sorry, £230 per person per day.
Per day, which is...
Not too bad, actually,
70,
is it?
70 quid.
£230 per person per day on food.
Less
if they're eating out, that's fine.
Hang on. What size squad have they got and how many staff?
So that's based on...
That's based on an approximation of 50 people.
Yeah.
It may well be more. Who knows?
Yeah.
And snacks? 230
quid a day
per person per day on food.
Maybe that is a bit high.
Well, equally, it might be reasonable. You can imagine there'll be some team bonding nights involved with that. When they say food and drink,
60 quid a meal. Well, what were we talking about?
They are big boys.
Yes,
they need their protein. They definitely need their protein.
So Aviva Premiership fixtures.
Okay. Which is the most interesting one here?
I'd like to have known how many cows they consumed through the week rather than how much money they spent.
Oh, sorry, 82,000 was the calorie consumption per player. Right.
Avicii.
So, the two contenders for the most interesting...
Oh, it's going to be Exeter Wasps, surely.
It's either the most inconsistent Harlequins Leicester or the one that should
replay of the final.
Exeter Wasps.
Surely that.
Well, we can do one of them, or we can do... both of them.
Let's get the other games out of the way then. What other Avicii games are there?
So on Friday night, 7:45, Gloucester host Worcester.
I'll be there.
Give me Gloucester.
Gloucester.
Yeah.
Gloucester, they are showing some potential and some positives.
Certainly
toughness,
more than... A little bit of the way they came back in that second half against Leicester was impressive. And by the way, Ollie Thorley has a death wish. He just rather than try and run round people, he just runs into the biggest men on the opposition and gets smashed.
My kind of guy. Oh, Tim, I nearly killed a man in... In America.
We're not really spoke... So we played rugby. So we went to watch Bayonne first team against Morris, which was quite a good game. Good performance by Bayonne, particularly compared to the result earlier in the year.
Were you playing in that match or against the two?
No, I tried to get on. I tried to get on under a false name, but it wasn't really worth it because they've done that before and they had a two-match sideline ban for the coach. So they said no. But we did play the B team game afterwards.
Yeah, which was an interesting mix of a few old blokes, a few kind of guys that know what they're doing, and then a few guys who've never really played the game before.
Ever.
Like, there were a couple of guys who I'm sure that have never even watched a game before, as in they did not know what to do at any point in the game. Me and JB scored a formed a formidable centre partnership.
It was.
I can see that.
Yeah, I play.
Although I'd like to see, I think I bet you had it as JB at 12 and you at 13.
We
correct.
Did.
So I would have had it the other way around because JB's not a distributing 12.
Oh, I beg to differ. I'm kind of like Sonny Bill, a really bad Sonny Bill. And Phil, who are you like?
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Maybe like a. I would have had you down like a Stuart Holding, bit of gas.
I'll go for someone like that.
Yeah.
I don't really mind.
So
I don't certainly
Jack Roberts.
I don't want too many comparisons with Stuart Holding at the moment. Just for the record.
Which leads us on to what happened on Saturday night. sorry. Moving on.
Yeah, anyway, they ran like a 12-13 switch. So as in 12 drifts out.
Yeah.
So I pick up the 12. The 13 comes on a really hard line for a short pop from the 10.
Trying to get JB's inside.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sidearm, weak arm.
Exactly. So if JB follows his man out and then there's a bit of a gap there. JB didn't follow his man. I've got his man. JB has my man, and he absolutely smashed him.
Yeah, he was looking for a weak arm. I don't possess weak arms. And the fact that he was like 70 kilograms as well.
Was there one of those ooh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, noises.
Yeah. He ran into me. Rather than me hitting him, but he ran into me so hard that I didn't get a chance to like wrap my arms. So it was just like chest straight into shoulder, bang.
Penalty then. Penalty yellow card.
It was a stone cold penalty yellow card, in my opinion. But it wasn't high.
It didn't get all their players were shouting, that's high. I was right there. It wasn't high. There were no arms in it. No arms at all.
I said, look, it's not high, but it is illegal. Yeah, good
nice.
Out.
Yeah, it was good fun.
So Gloucester Worcester and Gloucester will win.
Gloucester will win. The most worrying thing for Worcester, they've scored half as many points as anyone else. They've only scored 28 points.
And with that back line outside of 9-10 as well.
Yeah. So Gloucester will win that. Bath then host Newcastle, which Bath will win that.
Yep.
Newcastle will be positive. If they get something out of the game, it's good. But it'll be a tough ask for them to travel.
That'll be close. But yeah, the travelling involved and everything.
Yeah. So they travel back, have a couple of days in Newcastle, and then travel back down to...
They don't know they're beaten, though, ever, that team.
No,
they're tough boys.
They're so much more improved than what they were last year.
Yeah, they're a good team. Then Quinns play Leicester.
This is a really hard one to call. Quinns at home, I think.
I think Quinns at home as well. But you started to see a bit more from that Leicester back line. It's whether the pack can provide the platform.
The pack's just not good enough.
You know what you said about Faf de Klerk last week, where you said people aren't reacting to him. People aren't reacting to George Ford.
Maybe. I can see that.
He's kind of seeing things that are on and other people aren't.
But isn't that weird?
Reading him.
Because the whole reason that they kind of got him in is because he'd worked so well with Ben Youngs. So yeah.
Well, we saw that partnership starting to work.
Yeah.
However, it's outside of that.
Yeah, it's not the person inside him you need to worry about. Like, it's not Josh Strauss giving the ball to Faf de Klerk you need to worry about. It's Faf de Klerk then passing on to Jennings or McGinty or Solomon or anyone. Yeah. So it's everyone who's outside.
And it feels a little bit like Leicester's best attacks are started by Vianu from loose broken field ball.
Yeah,
what,
Vianu's
that
such
try
a dangerous
that,
runner.
Maloof scored was bloody brilliant.
Amazing from Vianu. What a lovely little glide. It wasn't even a step, it was just a kind of glide.
And then like a no-look pass too.
Yeah.
It was absolutely brilliant. And I like the Wasps' first try.
Oh, gorgeous.
It was stunning. And also, Faf de Klerk put someone in.
Solomona.
Yeah, a little 1-2.
That was very nice.
I've never seen that from a breakdown.
I've seen it quite a lot. Not normally where the player who's passed it to what was Faf de Klerk in that case, gets the ball back again. You see it quite a lot where the person in sort of the receiver position does like a miss one inside to a wing, usually a winger flying. Yeah. And trying to beat the guard.
The other difference between the Faf de Klerk situation and the George Ford situation is George Ford has been passed to by his mate from England, so you think that's okay, and then passing it to a world-class 12 on his outside. Well, Faf de Klerk's not doing that, and Faf de Klerk is one of the world's best scrum halves.
AJ McGinty had a decent game.
Yeah. It seems to be coming together a bit more. Yeah. But
and Mark Jennings was just outstanding.
Right, this is interesting. Have I mentioned this before? Every time I speak to, in fact, since the summer, since I interviewed Simon Orange, people have been talking about Mark Jennings over and over again, who I just assumed was one of those guys that they might keep, they might get rid of, not too sure. He's playing, like you say, really well. Really well.
Yeah, so I remember first knowing about Mark Jennings when he was in the, he was a fullback in the England World Cup winning under 20s team about 4 years ago. Yeah. And I did some match announcing at, it might have even been England under 18s actually. Yeah, it was England under 18s like 5 years ago or whatever. And I did some match, I was match announcing at Headingley, and it was England versus Scotland. And Mark Jennings, a fullback, was just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a baller, but a tough kid.
Yeah.
Apparently, I think the buzz about him is he's taken his career as a rugby player somewhat more seriously than he previously has done. I'll leave it at that, but you can fill in the blanks however you wish.
He might have possibly the best individual performance statistics of any player in the Premiership this weekend, because he scored a try assist, 98 metres made and 10 defenders beat him. 10 defenders beat is a phenomenal start.
Well, it's just weird that...
And yet he's sort of known for his defensive work, primarily, isn't he?
Which he did. He put in 10 tackles, 0 missed from a defensive perspective, so pretty handy as well.
It was the impact and the quality of what he did. I mean, London Irish were really, really poor.
Didn't they play, his name, the Australian-Italian fella at 12?
McLean,
that's
That's never going to work.
No, but it wasn't that. It was just the whole team. It felt flat. Unlike in the first game, we thought, oh, look, they've got, World Cup winning tight end coming off the bench. This is a tough, gnarly team. They just had a bit of a soft underbelly on Friday night. Mm. So anyway, what was the game we were talking about?
Good question. We somehow got onto Sale from Harlequins Leicester.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I'm going to go Quinns at home. They're really good at home. That'll be three on the bounce for Quinns, which is... Yeah. I'd like to know the last time they did that.
I'm also going to go for Quinns at home.
Leicester away. I just have a feeling about them.
Okay. Then Saracens host Sale.
Sale lose this.
Yeah. So last week was the first Sale loss that you predicted, and they won. So whatever you say, you can't accurately predict a Sale game.
No, God no.
So you're.
Although I'm pretty sure I can predict. This one. I think Sale probably get a bit of a hiding here.
I have to, having seen what I saw, it's starting, combinations are starting to work. And Steve Diamond, I chatted to him after the game, and he said,
"Oh, how is he?"
He's well.
Did he ask about JB?
Did he ask about me?
Oh yeah, of course. We got all the JB stuff out of the way. Then I had like 20 seconds left. Oh, one more question
about JB.
So I chatted to him, and he said he's actually got a squad where he can drop players now.
Yeah.
He said he's always wanted to have a situation where if someone has a bad game, he can just drop them out of the squad.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done.
I guess that suits his management style.
Yeah. But Mike Haley got dropped, had a howler of a mistake in the previous game when they lost to Newcastle.
Newcastle.
When they lost at home.
Oh, yeah. At home to Newcastle. In the 12-13 worst game of all time.
Yeah. He had a howler of a mistake at the end where he dropped the ball and led to a try. And then when Haley came off the bench, he looked immense. So there's something in what he's saying where he's got kind of the ability to say, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
Do one. So I think they'll be tougher. I don't think they'll get hammered, but I think Saracens will win by nine.
Yeah, Saracens win by a couple of scores. Then on Sunday, London Irish host Northampton. Which, if you just look at the last two games, you'd say Northampton are going to win that quite comfortably.
Yep, agreed.
And...
yeah, I don't think they'll win comfortably, but I think they'll win.
So if Northampton do win this, right?
This is Irish's first home game, remember? Proper home
game. Oh, because they had the Twickenham experience.
So, if Northampton do win this, is this proving the point that Alex Ferguson made or Bill Belichick made, which is get rid of your best players and everyone plays 5% better? if that is the case, we should draw up a list of players.
The best player in every team.
The player that everyone needs, the player that's holding you back.
Yeah.
In every team.
Yeah.
Mm. So obviously it was Louis Pickermore.
And then, so everyone's saying Northampton, although Tim, you're saying it'll be a little bit closer.
Yeah.
And then the final game,
which is our Leo Vegas.
Leo Vegas pick of the week. Yeah, get yourself to Leo Vegas. They love their rugby. They sponsor the podcast and they've got some really cool bets that you can get involved in. So if you were thinking of having a flutter this weekend, our pick of the games is Exeter Chiefs, the champions, against the runners-up Wasps from May, rematch at Sandy Park.
Yeah.
Wasps just having had their first home defeat since December 2015.
Ooh.
20-odd match run.
I see an Exeter victory. I'm not down on Wasps. I just think they rely too much on talent and individual brilliance. They are literally the opposite to what Exeter are, which are a bunch of individuals that make an incredible team. And because of that, I'm not entirely sure that Wasps will be able to do the Waspy type thing and put a load of points on them. I think Exeter can hold the ball a lot better, and I think Exeter will grind this out to the extent that they will get. I think Exeter will get a win by 9 points.
Mm. Wasps do have some issues in the back row. They've had a couple of injuries. Danny Cipriani, no word at the moment. I imagine by the time you maybe listen to this podcast, some more information will come out. But at the time of recording this, no official word on how long he's out for, but it looked like
What was his injury?
Looked like a knee injury. He was carried off at the end. He was being carried off. I think he got hit with a sideways impact on his knee, so it could be
if
the ligaments.
If he goes, that is big. I mean, that's not just it's not like just throwing Gopeth. Different sorts of players. That is huge.
Well, Cipriani without Gopeth looked very different.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
Well,
classy moments, but he has been playing with another set of eyes and hands outside him.
And feet, and
without the pressure of get us out of jail, you need to nail this kick.
Yeah, one of the best boots in the Premiership.
Yeah, but I wonder if it's kind of a two-way street here. You know, is Gopeth looking really, really good at 12 with his player? Because Danny Cipriani can put him into space and knows when to... time that pass.
Yeah. Oh, I see that.
They've formed a good partnership.
Yeah.
I think Dai Young's intention is to pick Danny or Jimmy because he's got two people in every position at least.
Yeah. And we've not even seen this. De Jong.
We haven't seen De Jong. Eastman hasn't come back yet.
Yeah. Liverpool will be starting at 12 again, I assume.
He looks so good in the first couple of games at 13.
Mm. Yeah, did it take something away from him moving him to 12?
Again, it's hard to tell. Potentially, yes, but I mean, Quins were really tough in there. They were really aggressive. But when Wasps cut loose, oh, still incredible. And let's not forget, Marcus Watson, Marlon Yard did brilliantly to cover that tackle defensively, but he didn't cause Marcus Watson to drop the ball. When you actually look at the slow-mo, Marcus Watson just dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unopposed.
Yeah.
He absolutely butchered it.
Yeah. That would have been a great try as well.
So I think Exeter have got the advantage over Wasps in all the set piece. I think they've got advantage over Wasps in holding the ball. And I don't think Wasps will be able to manage any or as many of their big plays as they possibly
can. I think this game we're going to see up against probably Thomas Young and Nathan Hughes and James Haskell. You're going to see what Sam Simmons is made of.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
See if he can actually put himself on Eddie's radar.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, that would be a great game for him to, look like Sam Simmons. Yeah, with no Danny Cipriani as well, I'd stretch our lead even further.
Chiefs.
12.
Well, if
12, 15 points then.
If there's no Cipriani and no Gopeth.
Gopeth will be back.
What's up with
better be. He's in my fancy rugby draft team. I got screwed because he wasn't in the team
this
weekend.
What's up with Gopeth?
He had just a foot niggle. It was nothing serious. He said on Sunday, yeah, I'll be available for selection next week.
Right, perfect. Because okay. Otherwise they go to Miller. I've got
Miller in my squad as well, so that's
all right. Oh, thank God. Miller.
It's all about the fantasy rugby draft.
I think it's Miller or Umaga who are the next.
Yeah, Umaga and a guy called Eastgate as well, a youngster called someone Eastgate. But there you go. Anyway, I'm going to go for the Chiefs.
Chiefs, and I think Chiefs by at least 10 points.
Yeah.
Can I make a request, please, for there not to be too many stoppages in play and injuries in this one, because I'm going to have a very tight schedule to get to Exeter Airport to get back to do the podcast.
Oh, really?
On Sunday. after the game.
And I would like to announce one last thing. Have we done everything?
Yeah.
Right, can I announce one last thing then?
Yeah.
Other than you've got to go to Cornerstone and buy razors.
Obviously, with the code EGG10 at checkout.
You've got to do that. And you've got to do that because we're so good to you. So the stash tack.
Because you get your free engraved aluminium shaft with your initials on it and six razors for £4. If you go to eggchasers.co.uk/cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or use EGG10 at checkout, it's an absolute no-brainer. £4. Anyway,
so I'm just going to make a couple of announcements. I was going to make one, I'll make two. So we are now fully focused on getting details out to you people about our trip to Madrid, which will be for the Tier 2 Six Nations effectively. So watch out for that. Things will be happening, and I've got some incredible news about people. More important, things that are going to be coming along with us.
That might be coming along with us.
Yeah, looking very... And talking about things, I believe, thanks to Canterbury, our stash tag is back.
Ooh.
So we will post this... how are we going to do this? We're going to post this show up on our Facebook Live... Sorry, on our...
Twitter feed.
Twitter feed and our Facebook feed. If you share it or if you retweet it, we'll put you into a little draw... And then you'll get some brand new Canterbury stash.
And as you will see, we are only saving that until the very end because we want to reward the people that are with us thick and thin, beginning to end. So the fact you're hearing that now, you're hearing something which people that stopped halfway through or whatever, didn't see it through, haven't got that commitment, not a full 80-minute performance, and it probably is 80 minutes by the time we're finished on this podcast. So you've got that insider knowledge, so give it a retweet.
Yeah, Yeah, so share Facebook Live. So this Facebook Live episode, share the Facebook Live episode or retweet us on Twitter.
Retweet the podcast, which we'll put up on Twitter. Everyone that does, in a hat, Canterbury. They make some of the best stash around at the minute.
Yeah.
Bath, for example, gorgeous.
Lovely.
Excellent.
Right, good work.
That is it.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.